It's time to think big with Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and No Good Line Through Your Tooth Tall Alaska Tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Bolchitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com with podcasts streamed at BigAlaskaShow.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Stevenson, Big Alaska Show friends. It's our Fur Roddy special edition of the Big Alaska Show. CEO of the 2023 Fur Rendezvous, John McClary, joins us. From Mr. Furface, it's Neil Haglund joining us. And from Alaska Sound Celebration with a melodrama update, Christy Hedrick joins us. Plus, we have a tall Alaska tale designed to raise your spirits and not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show.
And good morning. Welcome to the Big Alaska Show. I'm here with co-host Mike Ford. And right from the beginning, I got to congratulate you once again, the broadcast voice for the World Championship Dog Sled Races for the Fur Rendy 2023. I guess congratulations are in order. We're proud of you.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it. It's always fun.
How many years have you been doing this?
Well, I got to think back now on this last go around, I guess close to two decades, because when I came back, in 2002, I was down on Cordova Hill for about 10 years when Jim Robbins was doing it. And then I think I've been upstairs, the main over the start-finish line, about the same amount of time. And Jeff Barnhart was my cohort. He passed a year or so ago. Now Eddie Streeper, two-time champion of the World Championship race, and uncle to Blaine Streeper, who's attempting to tie George Atlas' record. He's with me now, and we still have a lot of fun.
For our outside listeners outside of Alaska, the Fur Rendezvous is a cabin fever reliever we have, celebrating when the fur traders came in and auctioned off their furs, and they just made a big event out of it, you know, a 10-day, two-week event, and we've kept on that tradition for years, and they have all sorts of activity. They've got melodramas and snowshoe softball and the ice sculptures. I mean, there's just tons of things of activities going on, and anchored into it are these World Championship Dog Sled Races that are sprints, basically. It's a 26-mile course they do of 3 days. Mike mentioned the Hooslea Hustler. Back when I was a teenager, there were two mushers that were rivals, and one was Dr. Roland Lombard. I think he was out of Minnesota, and the Hooslea Hustler, George Atla, was from Alaska, so he was an Alaskan favorite. And they battled all the time back and forth. And this Eddie Streeper you're talking about, so, you know, I'm doing all your talking. But just so people understand that that's what you're going to be doing, is you're going to be broadcasting from downtown Anchorage where the start and finish line is. And these Streepers are a very long-time, well-known dog mushing family in Alaska. And they provide the color and the expertise why Mike Ford is the pretty face.
Yeah, they come up to Alaska from Canada. They're big time Canadians, and Blaine Streeper, Buddy Streeper, always has the Canadian flag on the front of his sled, and really gets to some of the Alaskan mushers, but it's fun to watch.
So it's a 26-mile race, and this is a different race than the Iditarod, although this event dovetails eventually into the Iditarod. What's the average time?
Takes 90 minutes about, and they start out going down 4th Avenue, and they head east, and then they end up out by Campbell Airstrip and back around that way and back, take the trail. And they use the trail system, and it's the most unique race in the world for dogs because it's such an urban yet a wilderness environment. So half of it, you're mushing in front of thousands of people, and the other half, you're out in the tules watching for moose to come out. That's one of the hazards of the trail. And there have been a couple times when it's hindered the race, but it hasn't stopped it for the most part. Another time, other things that have hindered the race, there's lack of snow. There was one year when we had minimal snow, and we had dual starts and look like drag racing with the dog teams. It was kind of cool. And like you were mentioning earlier to me about, remember seeing that aerial shot where it looks like normal stuff and then the picture goes up higher and it's like just a little tiny patch of snow.
Yeah, they broadcast these races on TV and in Anchorage, and they have like a drone that flew above and was looking down at the street and was framed in such a way that you see the snowy road and the trails at these two lanes that these mushers are going to take in competition. But then when you widen it about 6 inches, you realize that there was no snow. They just had brought in snow to cover that one little part.
Last year, we only were able to run 2 days because of things that were going on. So, you know, it's always exciting. It's always a different kind of race. But actually, there's even the more exciting part where you can actually get up close to these mushers, Steve. And that's the Mushers Bib Draw. And that's coming up here on Wednesday, the 22nd at 6:30 downtown at the Bear Paw at 415 East Street. And all the mushers have to come in and get their bid, reach into the hat, pull out their number. And then they'll figure out who's going to start first on day one. And then the second day, the last people in go out first so that you always have, and it's 2 minute intervals. And so then you're going to have a lot of passing and a lot of fun. And usually it ends up on Cordova Hill. You'll get 5 or 6 teams coming up and it's very entertaining.
It's a blast. And especially this year when we've got so much snow and it draws a crowd and that generates a lot of energy and excitement. And the whole Fur Rendezvous has just become really energized by so much community involvement and cool things going on. Now, for you, you've got a team along, in other words, you've got reporters along the way.
I 4 reporters out on the trail, bringing down 2 veterans, 2 rookies, and then we're going to be stream yarding. So that's another unique thing. And I'm not sure about the bandwidth out in the back part of the trail yet as far as getting any kind of video. So that might be another thing we're able to do. But we'll definitely live 590 AM 96.7 FM and streamed at khar.com. We have people listening all around the world. And the mushers listen. Because we don't give exact times because we're not the official timer parts of this. But we give them reports of what's going on the trail. I'd say 90% of the mushers have their earbuds in and they're checking out what we're telling.
Anyway, we have a packed fun show. Of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way. Folks, the key to doing a morning radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of Joe than Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's preferred coffee for Fur Rendy goers. Fur Rendy's packed with festive events that demand a lot of go for Fur Rendy goers. Sometimes more go than a Fur Rendy goer's got. Enter Big Alaska Show Blend to the rescue. Just one sip of this caffeine-packed powder keg and Fur Rendy goers go and go and go so much it doubles the attendance inside the outhouse races. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. Intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup, it's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup, I can't get enough of that Big Alaska Show Blend.
And that's how we roll here at the Big Alaska Show. But stick around, we have more Big Alaska Show coming up. And you can hear our show streamed and get podcast at bigalaskashow.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show.
I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And good morning, I'm Uncle Steve with co-host Mike Ford. You know, it's Rondi time. We're celebrating all things Fur Rondi here at the Big Alaska Show. And we always start with the ever upbeat lead cheerleader of the Rondi, CEO John McCleary. Our guest is John McCleary. I've been thinking about this, Mike. Here's this guy. I mean, not even a pandemic. He's come to our early morning show more than once. So it really makes me question his memory. But have you noticed that anybody else who's come from the Fur Rondi one time at our early morning show, we don't get him back, but we get John McCleary every time. Let's give John McCleary a Big Alaska Show welcome.
There you go. I think I like the coffee better, you know, when you did that. Do you still have that good coffee brew?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And a year from now, tell him, Mike, what a year from now will be for KFQD.
Next year is the 100th anniversary of KFQD Radio.
Oh, my gosh. That is fantastic.
And we should have a little contest. We'll see if John can pass this one. Do you know what KFQD stands for, John?
Can't find my mother? No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Known for quality delivery.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. We weren't around at the beginning, but we've been here for a while.
Yeah, and well, we've been here 88 years. So, we're almost brothers of another, another year.
Let's start out. You did mention what your title is. So you're an executive officer of the Fur Rondi.
Well, I'm a CEO. I'm not an officer per se because we have a board of directors and they have their officers, the president, vice president, and treasurer and that. And they're the ones that give me kind of the direction saying, let's try to do this. And then I'm off and running. Kind of like a conductor is in an orchestra. You know, you've got the script, but yet you still have people saying, this needs to be louder, this needs to be softer. And so that's what we do with all the different events, just trying to plug them in so that when we have the finale on that March 5th, it all comes together.
What time frame does it cover in 2023?
We start with about three small events starting on February 20th. That's 2 weeks from Monday here, and with our pin swap. And then we have the Mushers Bib Draw that's on Wednesday there at the downtown Bear Paw. But then things really ramp up Thursday, and then, of course, Friday, the dogs are running on the streets, and it goes all the way through for then another 10 days, and then our last day of the official festival is Sunday, March 5th.
If you go to furrondi.net, the schedule of events is there, and we'll post that with our podcast. We're crawling out of a pandemic. Everybody is, and I'm sure the same for Rondi. What did you guys end up doing for the pandemic?
We were really fortunate. Rondi 2020 was just at the very brink before we fell into pandemic shutdown and everything. So we had a full Rondi in 2020. In 2021, though, we had to reimagine Rondi, and we went mostly outdoor events, very few indoor events, and nothing on Fourth Avenue because, again, the standards of care and the direction from the health department was no big crowds. And Fourth Avenue, as you know, is a big crowd. So we really reimagined Rondi, but we still put on a festival that people could go out and do things for their mental health and well-being. And so then came 2022 and things were picking up. The community was really embracing the movement to get out. Let's not worry about Omicron. Let's just go watch the dogs run and have a great time at all of the events. Now this year, it's even recovering even more. The energy level is much higher this year than it was even last year. And we really feel like, all right, we've turned the corner and we're moving forward.
In looking at the schedule of events you have, it's just packed with events all the days. The term downtown mushing district, is that a relatively new term? I know there was something going on about it and you guys are trying to do something with that. And then then the pandemic came. And
the idea came from Susan Duck and our board members, Ernie Hall and a few others and myself. You know, downtown has been a place where there's been dog mushing. And so back in 2010, 2011, we started moving on this idea. Why not have this downtown area named only in name only, that this is the mushing district and have something unique. And so we we're moving forward with the idea. We've met with things, and then the pandemic hit. But in the meantime, the wheels were still turning about how to make this downtown area unique, like Chinatown in San Francisco and other places where people it has an identity. And so, former Mayor Berkowitz embraced it and proclaimed the Fourth Avenue corridor as the Mushing District. Our current Mayor Bronson, and then also the planning department, has now identified it in the community, in the revised downtown plan, that this area from A Street to G Street on Fourth Avenue is officially called the Mushing District. And again, it is just a name that celebrates our state sport. And there's a lot of components that we're working towards, whether it's walking interpretive program along Fourth Avenue, where people can learn about the importance of the dog and the sled dogs and the racing and the care and everything else. Not the PETA story, but the real story of Alaska. And we're moving towards then that Musher's Arch, so that, we will have a March arch that people will love to take pictures under. It'll be the iconic kind of identity of Anchorage. I mean, we're a town a little under 300,000 people. How many towns can say they're racing downtown with dogs? I mean, all I can say is, this town did not go to the dogs. We celebrate our sport.
One of the things when we interviewed the CEO of the Iditarod, Rob Urbach, and he was relatively new. He came right at the beginning of the pandemic. He was an Ironman. He's an athlete. Yep. And I asked him about the care of the dogs and his impression. And his comment, John, was, he says, the next time I come back, I want to come back as an Iditarod dog. And I think that's, like you said, not the PETA story. It's the story of our legacy. I still remember in junior high watching Roland Lombard and the Hooslea Hustler going neck to neck and that kind of history. So, and it's come back bigger than ever, Mike. Did you check out the schedule of events and how much stuff is going on?
It's amazing. And this year, of course, when you speak of the dog races, Buddy Streeper has a chance to tie George Atla's record this year, Steve.
When we were talking about the Iditarod, Arlie Reynolds, who is the Associate Dean of the School of Veterinarian Science in Fairbanks, and also is a championship musher. He's won twice the Rondi, our open world championship races, but also the Fairbanks North America Championship. A very competitive musher in his day. And he did a incredible medical analysis of the dogs and what it takes, and what the athlete of the dog, why is it different than any other dog? And he identified that many of the kennels of Iditarod can be traced back lineage to the Rondi dogs, the sprint dogs of the 50s, 40s, 60s, the George Atla dogs. And that's not saying that the dogs that are coming from Quebec or Manitoba or Michigan or that have that lineage, but those that are from here, the mushers from Alaska, their dogs can be traced back. And Arlie, again, he has a passion. He's a veterinarian scientist. He, was looking back at the lineages. And so even though, we all like to say Iditarod, Rondi was first.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
And thanks for joining us for our 2023 Fur Rondi Special Edition of the Big Alaska Show. We've been talking to Rondi CEO John McCleary, and this is part two of that interview. Let's talk about some of the events that, if you go through the schedule of events, which you'll find at furrondi.net, there's a lot going on, pal. This is packed. So why don't you talk about some of the events, maybe some highlights, some of them, John?
Well, we've already talked about the Open World Championship sled dog races that happened at high noon both Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. But we also have the carvers, the snow carvers that are down in the railroad yards across from Comfort Inn. And in fact, our winner last year, the Department of Snow, went to Geneva, Wisconsin this year, the last week of January, 1st of February, and they took second place in the national U.S. championships. So our carvers are U.S. national class carvers. That's happening and finalizing for the awards that are on that Sunday, February 26th. But Saturday, oh my gosh, you know, we start out with the Frostbite Foot Race, which is now going in its 42nd year. We're also in the middle of the Rondi Bonchfield, which is right. They'll be celebrating the 66th championships of the Rondi Spiel. They have actually three curling teams coming from the lower 48 to curl in our spiel here. Then we've got the parade that is happening literally at 10:30 downtown. Then comes the dogs. Then comes the carnival. Then comes the fireworks, 7:30, and our extravaganza party at the bridge. And so that Saturday, it's packed. Then Sunday comes along. Again, we've got the championships, the awards for the best snow sculptures going to be handing out at noon on that Sunday. But we have other events that are like at Midtown Mall, the coin show, the artistry in wood, the plastic modelers, because we've turned the corner as far as COVID. We've got the Great Alaska Train Show going on down at the depot. And we have live preliminaries of the Great Alaska Talent Competition happening at the downtown Bear Paw Saturday and Sunday afternoons downtown. In fact, we turned the corner so much that the Melodrama is performing live this year.
Yeah.
So they are now live and performing at the 49th State Brewery over the entire period of the Rondi Festival. Just got things going on. This is a community festival that's brought by the many community organizations. We literally touch 35 plus different nonprofits. So because they're doing events, and that they're contributing not only by their work in terms of helping the community, but they're also contributing to the community's well-being and the smiles and the experiences during the Rondi Festival.
Oh, yeah. I think that's something that I'm really impressed with, too, Mike, is just the support from the community and the outreach. I do need to do a shameless plug, though, about these World Championship Dog Sled Races. Mike Ford will be broadcasting. He will be one of the voices. Who's going to join you there? Do you have somebody yet, Mike?
I get the best seat in the house, man. And the co-anchor is yet to be announced. And
I will give you an inside track. Buddy's dad, Eddie Streeper,
will be
joining you. I'm not sure every day during the entire races, but he will be side by side with you looking at the finish line.
So, yeah, Steve, Eddie Streeper is going to join me again. It'll be awesome coverage from up atop the historic Rondi headquarters. And we have our ambient mic out the window so we can hear Mel do the countdown and send them off down 4th Avenue. And then we will have various reporters at different places around the 26-mile course. The only course like this in the world that goes in urban and out into the Tulies. And so that's why they come from all around the world, isn't it, John?
Absolutely. In fact, Arlie, in his article that in evaluating the dogs, who's talking about how the Rondi dogs are special in that not only are they racing in urban settings, but they have all the factors that urban society brings, the crowds, other dogs, the wildlife and the moose, and which is totally different as far as mental stress on them, not only the musher, but also on the dogs, compared to like the long distance mushers who, you know, they have a start line and then poof, they're gone into the woods. Then they may come into a small community and poof, they're back out. Where in Rondi, nearly on the entire 26 miles is an urban setting experience for the racer and the dogs. But, you know, we were talking about community support. The community support also is the businesses and what they provide us. We have close to $60,000 in in-kind support and another well over $150,000 in sponsorships by businesses, from whether it's Matson, Alaska USA Credit Union, Alaska Communication Services, ConocoPhillips, AT&T, down to Kobuk or E Street Audio. I mean, the entire community, including the business community, lends support towards Fur Rendezvous.
The thing comes to me is how we can do our small part as the public is just get out and enjoy this thing. But also, you got to buy your Fur Rondi pin, right?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And this year's pin is outstanding. It is so Alaskan, it's incredible, because it has the tough boot, it has a moose horn, it's got a sprig of forget-me-nots, and I mean, it just says Alaska. It is truly one of the more unique pins that we've had.
You know, we go through different seasons economically in Alaska. We're a small population. And I really think the Fur Rendezvous is a really good boost to our community buying behavior. It sort of stirs up the bees of getting rolling, the commerce that affects our community.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, downtown, I mean, if you're walking the streets last week, it's slow. But when we reach, we come into this coming week, then the pre-week to Rondi, trying to find a place to eat, the hotels are packed downtown. The businesses are packed, the gift shops. I mean, and then it's all of a sudden, it is just, it feels like summer. I mean, everywhere, people are walking around downtown, it just energized. And that is one of our roles as far as our festival, is to do that economic impact, give the place for tourists and visitors to come to see not only Alaska and enjoy its great beauty, but also our community and some of these great, great fun things. And then, of course, it just builds when you have whether it's the March Madness with Ausau in terms of the basketball tournaments that are going on, the state tournaments, the state skiing, the Tour of Anchorage, the Iditarod, all of us then combine into this energy-filled 4 to 5 weeks here for Anchorage to enjoy and help the businesses spring forward into summertime and that season.
John McCleary is the quintessential cheerleader of the Fur Rondi. You know how bakers get tired of their own bread? Not McCleary. Hey, John, I know you have to be careful because you are the CEO of all of them, but what's one of your favorite events?
Wow. You know, I kind of like skating with the critters. Down at Westchester Lagoon, on February 4th, you know, you've got the other critters, you got the running of the reindeer and they're just everywhere. But skating with the critters is skating with the mascots of Anchorage, and the families are out with their kids. They're smiling. They're enjoying that beautiful area down there at Westchester Lagoon that's hot mopped and taken care of by Parks and Rec. Alaska 529 is a sponsor of the critters. And this year we're joined by AARP in terms of for the family skate portion of that time, but it's that wonderful place that just is relaxing for families to go, and the kids love skating with Seymour the Moose or the armadillo from the steakhouse or Sparky the dog. In fact, this year we have the famous seawolf called Spirit that the UAA seawolf will be on the ice along with the hockey team skating with the kids and the critters this year. So, again, that to me boils everything down to this is a festival for family fun.
Like you said, Steve, John has been like the torch. You know how the Olympics, they run with the torch? He has the Fur Rondi torch, and he's run with it so well for so long. And we just got to say thank you, John.
You know, that old adage, it takes the village to make things happen. But I appreciate those thoughts. Thank you very much. One of the things that it's really important, while we, you know, I shared some of the successes and how the business community is helping us and everyone else is helping us, no one can ever take Fur Rendezvous for granted. We have seen some events and organizations that if you don't take care of your house and the people don't accept you and they take care of also making that energy, organizations fall away. The ACES was a good example. And so the community needs to make sure that they come out, they do their part, and also help with whether it's memberships or whatever. Because if the community isn't supportive, we won't be there. And we want to be here to be 100 years like KFQD. It's, don't take for granted that we're made out of money. We aren't. It's everyone's support that makes our wheels turn.
Seeing how we're desperate, and you're exactly who we're looking for, John. We're big fans of Fur Rondi. We really appreciate your taking time to talk to us here in the Big Alaska Show, and we'll post your website at furrondi.net. Again, John McCleary, CEO. John, thanks for all you do for our community. Let's give John McCleary from the Fur Rondi a Big Alaska Show thank you and continued success. Fur Rondi is an event fest feast with each day packed with activities, like Mr. Furface and the melodrama.
As our midwinter celebration gets underway, of course, a big part of that involves beards and mustaches. That's why Neil Haglund's here from the Lions. Hi, Neil.
Hi, how are you today, Mike?
We've got an amazing competition coming our way, Neil. Tell us about it.
Well, this is the Mr. Furface competition. This will be our 72nd competition that we've done here, part of the Miners and Trappers Ball. Although the past couple of years, we've not done the ball just because of logistics on that. And of course, the pandemic that we had. But last year, we started back up with the Mr. Furface competition. We had about, well, I guess, 100 participants that came up there, and the beards were grand. I know that.
Well, I sure had a fun time, Neil, being the MC last year. Looking forward to doing it again this time. In all, how many categories do we judge at the Mr. Furface contest?
We have 13 different categories. Most of them are based on color category, like brown bear, black bear. Honey bear would be the blonde, red fox, of course, polar bear, which I am one, and then it goes to polecat, which is a predominant color with white streaks in it, and then wolf, which is the most suave, a pretty beard, you might even say. Mountain goat, which is your goatee. Ptarmigan, which is, we bill it as strictly for the birds where you decorate it. And I, for 10 years straight, I won first place in the ptarmigan category. Just, usually try to decorate my beard in the theme of the ball.
All right.
So it works. And then we have two categories for mustaches, soup strainer, which is above the corners of your lip. And then you have the walrus, which is the one that comes down all the way to the side. Some people might call it Fu Manchu.
Okay.
And some of those people down there. But the two ones that are new to us, because we have added over the past couple of years, the Pyrite Pioneers, which, we have women that will weave a fake beard to hang around their ear and then put it on their chin, and that's where they land. And then the Alaskan Whaler, which is a beard without a mustache.
Ah, yeah.
And there's several of those.
There are 13 categories, Neil, but only one will be chosen as Mr. Furface.
One will be chosen. What happens in each of the category, we pick a first place winner and a second place winner. And then at the end of the round, all the first place winners from Pyrite Pioneers all the way to Brown Bear, they'll come up and compete for the title Mr. Furface, which is the Alaska State Beard Champion.
What goes into picking a judge, Neil, for the Mr. Furface competition?
We try to be fairly diverse in our judges. Usually we try to get a hairdresser, somebody that knows what it takes to make follicles frolic, I guess. And then we try to get somebody that has been part of the Miners and Trappers Ball for a long time. And then we'll try to get a former Mr. Furface. Of course, many of these Mr. Furfaces, they want to try to get that title again.
Right.
But we've been very successful the past couple of years to get one of the former Mr. Furfaces. Last year, it was David Traver, who actually got number one in the World Beard and Mustache Championship.
Wow.
When we held it up here in 2009. So.
Any talk of getting it back up here for the World Championships, Neil?
As a matter of fact, I think it's 2027. The South Central Beard and Mustache Club is looking into, putting in a bid for the 2027.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Olympics of beards, right?
It is. And it's every year or every 2 years that they hold this, they move them all around the world. It's been in Germany a number of times. It's been in Norway. It's been in England. It's been in America twice, I think, Alaska being one of them, and we'd like to bring it back again. So, keep your follicles growing and nice and trim.
Okay, so tell me about prizes. What do you get for being Mr. Furface?
Just the accolades and a trophy.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, that's really something, because you become part of a fraternity.
Yes.
That even if you win a Pyrite Pioneer, you know, you always have the trophy on your wall. And I said, well, that's a beard trophy. Well, that's your mother's. You know?
Okay, so but it's not too late to get involved, right?
No, just show up there. The cost is $20. It's at the Willowa Social down there. And just a heads up there, we put the wrong date in the Rondi guide. So as you look in the Rondi guide, it says events around town, which it shows the Mr. Furface competition on March 4th. That is not correct. It is on March 3rd, Friday. So it'll be next Friday, March 3rd at the Willowa Social. Doors open at 6, and the beard contest starts at 7 o'clock.
All right, and Neil, your beard looks fantastic this year.
Well, thanks. I can hardly wait to cut it down.
Good luck.
All right, thank you.
And of course, Rondi's not Rondi without the melodrama. The Fur Rondi Melodrama is not only one of the major events of the Fur Rondi, it's a many years long tradition melodrama. And I'm here with Alaska Sound Celebration's Christy Hedrick. Please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Christy Hedrick. How many years melodrama is it this year?
Technically, it's 33 years ago that melodrama started, but of course we had a pandemic in the middle of all this, you know, the last 2 or 3 years. So while we were able to do a virtual show in 21, we were unable to do anything in 22. So this is the 32nd annual melodrama this year.
Well, congratulations. And what are the dates?
Our show opens Friday, February 24th, and we'll have 15 shows that run through March 11th. And it's held at the 49th State Brewing Company at the Heritage Theater.
Awesome. Give us a little bit of the storyline, what this show's about.
Well, I can't give away too much or give away the story, right? But it's your traditional, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s melodrama with the hero and the villain. You know, the villain's out to steal the treasure and tie up the damsel in distress. It's a super fun show.
Alaska Sound Celebration, it's a fundraiser for your chorus. And I think one of the most successful fundraisers in barbershop anywhere. I know you get good corporate sponsors and you guys do such a great job, but I think I still have clothes in my closet with popcorn in it.
That's probably true. We have a laugh every year at melodrama as well, because we'll find popcorn in corners where we thought we had cleaned it all out. And, you know, the staff down at 49th, there'll be another show in there, and randomly a piece of popcorn will fall out of the antler chandelier that's in the middle of the room. So yes, it's fun.
Tell people what the significance of popcorn in this thing.
Well, that's truly one of the major things that makes this show so fun, is that where else can you go watch a live show that has live music and throw popcorn at each other? It's, you know, a major fundraiser during the melodrama on top of our tickets. The popcorn is our other fundraiser that happens along with our raffle. You know, the idea is to throw it at the bad guy, but it usually ends up in family fights with each other, you know, in the middle of the show, throwing it.
That's true.
And what's great is it's so fun that you will end up throwing popcorn at strangers and they'll throw it back at you. And by the end of the show, you've just got this great rapport with them that you're having a great time.
Have you had a record number of bags of popcorn? Do you count the bags of popcorn?
We do. We have to, in order to make sure we have enough made. And I think our record number of bags in one show is close to 1,400 little dollar bags. We sell them for a dollar, often on Fridays and Saturdays. Those are our busiest shows, the evening shows. Mm-hmm. And we often will sell 1,000 or more bags on those shows.
Now, you use this money for your chorus. What are some of the purposes?
Well, we're really passionate about music education, and that's really what the book, outside of needing your funding for just running the organization as a whole, it's all about education for us. We bring up high caliber coaches to have masterclass sessions 2 to 3 times a year. We also do the Sing for Scholarship program that happens in the fall of every year, where we allow high school students to audition, and then the top 5 end up performing on our fall show that year and earn scholarship money. We also have Alaska Acapella University, which is an all-day workshop to teach youth from junior high and high school, boys and girls, all about barbershop. And they also perform on our show with us. So it's all about music education. We're very passionate about that. And that's really what the bulk of these funds are for. It keeps us running, but it enables us to bring up those great teachers and coaches to work with us and teach us more about this craft that we love so much.
We dug this Rondi gold nugget out from a show from the past when we played A Tall Alaska Tale for some Fur Rondi board members, and here's how they did. I think it's time to play one of our fun games we call
Tall Alaskan Tales, Tall Alaskan Tales. No good lying through your tooth, Tall Alaskan Tales.
Okay, the way we play this, we're going to play a tale. And it's up to you to determine, is this a truth or a no-good lying through your tooth, Tall Alaska Tale? And Mike, once again, please tell them our
We're
disclaimer.
We're eligible to win our own prizes. We usually do.
Yeah, okay. When Anchorage resident Vern Johnson organized the winter sports tournament in 1935, one can only imagine how delighted he would have been knowing it would turn into the ever-popular Fur Rendezvous of today. All Vern wanted was to bring Anchorage's small population together with a fun cabin fever reliever. In those days, fur trade was the second largest industry at the time, and it was common practice for fur traders to come sell their furs in February. So in 1937, they revised the name to the Winter Sports Tournament and Fur Rendezvous, then eventually just Fur Rendezvous. Over the years, many a colorful story has been told having to do with the Fur Rondi. One such story has to do with one of Fur Rondi's more popular events, the Mr. Furface competition at the Miners and Trappers Ball. Here, competitors would vie for bragging rights for the best beard and mustache. Prior to the event being introduced in 1950, a committee spent countless hours, wee into the night, defining the rules of the competition. It was no easy task. Beards and mustaches are as unique as the individual sporting them. As a result, several categories were developed, such as there was the Mr. Alaskan Whaler, Mr. Brown Bear, Mr. Black Bear, Mr. Mountain Goat, Mr. Polar Bear, Mr. Soup Strainer for the best mustache, and on and on. But there was one category discussed that would never see the light of day. The thought was, if awards were going to be given to the best beards and stashes, why not provide an overall award for the most body hair? After all, there are men walking around with thick jungles on their chests, backs, and no telling where else. Creative category names abound, such as Mr. Hairsuit and Mr. Yeti. However, things came to a halt when committee members discussed how the competitors would display their wares and its appropriateness, especially for those whose hairline seemed endless. Is this the truth or a no-good lying-through-your-tooth Tall Alaska Tale? Okay, now, here we go. Now, so, Beth, ladies first, do you think this is the truth or a Tall Alaska Tale or a no-good lying-through-your-tooth Tall Alaska Tale?
I think it's the truth. Yeah. I mean, I have heard some really colorful Rondi stories that really don't make the press. I don't know where you guys got this information or where you dug it up, because they didn't have the competition, obviously, but we still have a Mr. Furface today. And the reason I think it's true is because of the fact that Keystone Cops, their original purpose was to be arresting people for not having a beard. So they took this body hair thing really seriously. I mean, it was a big point of the entire festival.
Wow.
They switched it over to arresting you for not having a pin, because that obviously broadened the audience, one would hope. But I'm guessing it's true, just because the whole... the hair thing was a big deal. It's disgusting. But, you know, it just sounds like something that a Rondi committee would go into late into the night, especially if they've got some, you know, Jim Beam on the side. Things get creative. Things get wacky. I'm saying it's true.
Okay. Dennis, what do you think? Is it truth or no good lying through your tooth, Tall Alaska Tale?
Oh, I'm going to buy it 100%. Just knowing how some things work at some of these committee meetings. Yeah, I think it's true. But the one thing you missed was... actually, the reason that Fur Rondi started was because Vern and his committee were trying to pull people from Fairbanks, because they had the Winter Carnival locked down in the mid-30s, and people from Anchorage were taking the train to Fairbanks, and Vern came up with an idea how to bring people back to Anchorage and keep them in Anchorage. And we started with the basketball tournament and fur and miners and the trappers getting together and competing in boxing. And they actually had a dog weight pull at one time to see which dog could pull the most weight. So that's the real start of Rundy. But all of the hair thing,
okay.
Buying it.
Oh, I'd have to mirror it. I mean, hair was the way to be warm, whether you put it on your head or whether you grew it on your face. So I
wore it.
Or wore it. Absolutely. You know. I mean, this.
We can't fool anybody. Mike.
I love the Yeti. I love that Mr. Yeti. Yeah,
So, Mike, do we have the answer for that?
We do.
Well, this is obviously a bold-faced lie. One can't help but think the new category would be called Mr. Missing Link.
Hey, Mike, what sound effect do we have for us losers?
All right.
I'm sorry, folks. That was a no good line.
I still think it probably came up in committee. It had to. I mean, if you guys could come up with it, then somebody else did. It just never made it to
stage. Taking it to the next level at our next board meeting.
Thanks for giving us a great idea, guys.
I see Mr. Unsightly Back Hair coming out next year, so. So, that's our show. And a big shout out to the Fur Rondy Nation who put this 2023 Fur Rendezvous together so the rest of us can go and just enjoy ourselves. And at the same time, while we're enjoying ourselves, energizing our community moods and fueling our economy. And all we have to do is show up. As Mike Ford says, it's more fun going to someone else's party. And to my baby girl, love you. And Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right, Uncle Steve, we want to thank John, Neil, and Christy for joining us. We want to thank you for listening. And we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tuttle, or online at neighborswindowsanddoors.com, and Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized Xerox sales agent for Alaska. Visit them anytime at aesalaska.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good line through your two-tall Alaska tales, it's got to be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.